Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the resurrection and the life. That the biggest problem that humans have, which is death, is nothing to you. Because you are the giver of life. And we pray, Lord, that we would remember that if you can give us everlasting life, how could you not also give us all the smaller things that we pray for? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, we have one of the most known stories in Scripture. And that's the raising of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus's, and he had two sisters, one named Mary and one named Martha, and we know about them in the other Gospels earlier because Mary was the one who sat at Jesus' feet and Martha is the one who was out serving. And so everybody's heard about Mary and Martha, but before John, nobody knew about Lazarus. Now, this is very interesting to me because this is a pretty big miracle. The raising of Lazarus from the dead 4 days after he had died. And it interests me that Matthew and Mark and Luke, who wrote about Mary and Martha, never said anything about Lazarus. John, remember, wrote later than those other three. And I would think, because they mentioned Jairus' daughter and they mentioned some of the other resurrections from the dead that happened right after, but none of them saw fit for some reason under the power of the Holy Spirit to mention the greatest resurrection of all save the one of our Lord himself. But John does. For whatever reason, John brings this forward and he starts in chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2 and he says the setting. He says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. It's funny how John puts it. He starts out by saying Lazarus was in the same town as Mary and Martha, and he doesn't even mention right at the beginning, oh yeah, and he was their brother. He waits till verse 2 to mention that. And he mentions also in verse 2 an event of the anointing of Jesus' feet, which he doesn't even count until chapter 12. So he's giving us a little foreshadowing of why. When we get to John chapter 12 and we see Mary anointing Jesus' feet with this expensive oil, why he did it, why she did it. And so we have a little setting there. And in verse 3, it says, therefore, the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, the man whom you love is sick. That's a way of really calling him. You know, they didn't just come say, Lazarus is sick. No, the man whom you love is sick. Now, Jesus was at a distance. He wasn't close. Now, he could have gone. He could have gone immediately. But I want us to notice that he didn't. And he has this response which is totally contrary to what we would expect. If we heard someone we really love was sick and possibly sick unto death and we wouldn't get to see him again, we would probably try and go as quickly as possible to spend our last minutes, our last times with this person. See, but for Jesus, death is not really an obstacle. And we need to remember that. Because death is a scary thing. You know, we're believers. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and paid completely. And I believe I'm going to go to heaven. But still, there are times when I think of that. One of these days, you know, those little boxes up in front of funeral homes, I'm going to be in one of those. And everything I could have done here is not going to be doable anymore. But Jesus responds in verse 5 and 6. And he says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. That is a strange statement. Jesus loved, so he stayed away. The first thing you need to remember is, yes, death is not the end. And secondly, God is going to get the glory from this. If Jesus had gone immediately, there would have been a healing. But there was going to be much more than a healing. We just finished two chapters ago talking about the man born blind, and the disciples were saying, why? Why was he born blind? Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? Why was he born blind? And Jesus said, no, those aren't the problems. He was born blind so that God, John 9:3, may be glorified. But God would only be glorified if God could do something about it. And here's the same thing. Why did Lazarus die? Jesus, Lazarus' sister said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then what we would have had was another healing. And we've already had a bunch of healings. Now, that's not to put healings down. You know, Jesus healed lepers and blind men and paralytics and all these others. And Gospels are full of healings. And if Jesus had gone, there would have been another healing, just another one like those others. But Jesus wanted to do something extra special in the life of Lazarus that would give great glory to God. And so the Son is going to be glorified through this, and the Father through the Son. And so Jesus says this in verse 4. He said, this sin, this sickness, I mean, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, the sickness, he says, is not unto death, and yet Lazarus died. What he's saying basically is death is not the end. And I want us to remember that that's true in anything we go through in our lives. Death is not the end. Your trial, your sickness. People say that person has terminal cancer. In the hands of God, there's no such thing as terminal cancer. Because even if the person dies, if they're in Jesus Christ, they're going to live. And he's going to say that. So no matter what happens to you, and even if people come and they say, I'm going to kill you if you do not reject or renounce Christ, you can say to them, your bullet is not unto death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the Father is going to be glorified when the Son is glorified. And he says, I've got to work now. Remember, he said the same thing earlier in John chapter 9. But in John chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, he says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the light, he stumbles because the light is not in him if he walks at night. Verse 11, these things he said, and after he had said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him. He says, I've still got work to do. I can't worry about people stoning me. I can't worry about people killing me. I came for this. It's still daytime. I can't wait till the nighttime. If I wait till night, I'm going to stumble. I've got to go. See, Jesus was not scared. He says, I am willing to work at the risk of death. And this has been the call for missionaries throughout. If you receive mail from Voice of the Martyrs or from Wycliffe or from some of these groups, and they tell of these people who have gone into situations where they know death awaits them. But they go willingly and with joy because he's the resurrection and the life. So he goes, and his disciples, oh, they're such positive people. Verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, he spoke of death. They thought he was talking about physical sleep. And then in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then verse 16, Thomas, I love Thomas. Oh, my little tocayo. I love Thomas. Let us go also that we may die with him. Oh, Thomas. Oh, Thomas. I could just see him sounding like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. Oh, we'll go, we'll die with him. It's a good thought. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And as we observe some things about the miracle itself, the first one I wanted to say is we've noticed already, sometimes love delays. Sometimes love says, I'm not going to run, I'm going to wait because it'll be greater when I wait. In verses 5 and 6, we already saw that. I love Lazarus, therefore I'm going to stay back and let him die. And see, if we look at it from an earthly perspective, we don't understand. But even humans understand this on an earthly perspective. I remember when I was a kid, it was, you know, getting near Christmas time. And all those presents were under the tree. How many of you kids wanted to open those like 2 weeks before Christmas? How many of you were like, but I can't wait? And how many of you know now as you've grown that if your parents had said, okay, open them now, Christmas would not have been the special time it was. So your parents, they could have said, okay, I love you. Here it is now. And you know, that's the trouble with a lot of what happens today. We expect instant gratification. And loving parents who think they're being loving say, okay, take it, take it, take it. And the kids never get the joy of seeing your desire come to pass after wait. And sometimes it's greater than it was had they given it to you immediately. And so Jesus stays back and he says, I know he's sick, but we're going to wait here because I love him. And then he goes. And now Lazarus is not only sick, Lazarus is dead, and he's not only dead, he's been dead 4 days. But see, what God is doing through his love is he's increasing our faith and our courage. See, his disciples, even though they talk like Thomas, they went. Oh, let's go so we die with him. But you know, it took courage to do that. He's building them. When Jesus has us wait, he's increasing our faith and he's increasing our courage and he's giving us the time to grow through it. And that's what trials are meant to do. So that when it's finally the time, we have the strength to say like Thomas, even though our attitude may not be quite what it should be, all right, let's go and die. He's worth it. Now we come to the actual miracle, and the miracle is very simple. Jesus goes and he comes to the grave and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and tells him to roll away the stone, and the guy comes out after being dead for 4 days, and They take off the grave clothes. The miracle was nothing spectacular. Just a couple things I want to mention. One is the shortest verse in the English Bible is part of that. 11:35. Jesus wept. You know, God can fix anything with a word. And yet the situation in this world is such that Jesus still weeps. And I want to ask you, because I have to ask myself, if Jesus, who is about to fix this with a miracle, still weeps at the sadness and the horror of it, when was the last time we wept for the sadness and the horror in this world? When was the last time we looked at the things that happened, had this past week, that 9 people down in Mexico who were gunned down by the cartels? It was part of the news and we kept on our day. Death is a horrible thing. Remember what they said about Lazarus when he tells them to move the stone? Surely now he stinks. It's what death is. You know, one of the things that I watched the video games, you know, and these people in the video games with a machine gun and they're mowing people down. You know, movies too. You go to a movie and you see some of these scenes, these violent scenes in the movies. You know what? One of the reasons people go and see them, they can't smell them. Can you imagine, would you go to a theater if you could really smell what was going on in those movies? The death and the fire, the burning flesh and all the things that go along with death. It stinks. And our eyes sterilize it. You know, you go watch The Passion of the Christ and it's awful even for your eyes. But if you were to be able to smell it, nobody would see the movie. Corruption and rot. Jesus is the resurrection. And what a wonderful thing it is. We got to go from theology to practice. Jesus, I want us to remember, Jesus raised a 4-day dead person from the grave. Now, it's even more that, you know, in those days, they didn't do like the Egyptians and mummify. They put the spices around to hasten the decomposing. That's why they were saying, this is going to stink. But I want you to notice the reaction of the two sisters as we do it. But first, I want to notice one thing, that the love caused a delay, and that a delay caused additional grief for a while. Sometimes we need that grief. But I want you to notice Martha and Mary. I want you to notice in chapter 11, verse 23, start in verse 23, the passage we read today. Jesus said to her, your brother would rise again. And Martha said to him, yes, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Boy, it's so easy to make last days talk, isn't it? Because that's future. But what we need is faith that believes that Jesus is going to act now. Oh, I believe in the last day I'm going to go to heaven. I believe to live as Christ is to die is gain. I believe those things. But when you're looking at danger or looking at trials, you don't need faith for the last days. You need faith for now. Angie was reading the Lord's Prayer this past week and she saw something, and we don't see it often enough. You pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we think, yeah, someday God's going to make the world perfect like heaven. New heavens, new earth, last day. No, the prayer is saying, I want to see some of that now. Jesus wasn't talking about raising Lazarus at some far distant last days. Jesus is saying this is to be grabbed onto now. You know, we say, I have eternal life. Doesn't mean I will have it in the last days. I have the resurrection power to live now. Do you believe that? Because it's easy to talk about some future last days. There's nothing, there's no skin in the game. But Jesus is telling Martha, do you believe I can bring this brother of yours back now? And she's talking some distant, some glad morning when this life is o'er. We love the song and it's true. But Jesus wasn't talking last days, either in the Lord's Prayer or here. Jesus is saying, I will be the resurrection, but what? I am the resurrection. Don't put it all into the last days. Her faith was theological. Her faith was doctrine. Oh yes, in the last, some distant last days, the resurrection will come and Lazarus will be there. And it was like out of some systematic theology book. Jesus is saying, no, this thing that you're putting out there, this is now. And we need to look at it that way. Now, Mary was a little different. Martha's faith was sort of academic. Mary's faith, she asked the same questions. But I want you to notice in verse 32 something about Mary. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, Martha was discussing last days theology. Mary had the same questions, but she asked them on her knees. Mary wanted answers to prayer. It's the same Mary and Martha. You know, it's interesting. John doesn't tell about Mary and Martha and the serving incident, and Mary and Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell about Lazarus. But you can tell here, even though the Gospels are so different, that these are the same two people. Martha's still the practical, yes, I see the future, I do this, and I'm with you. Mary wants to be at Jesus' feet and ask him and pour out her heart saying, I don't understand, Lord. And a lot of times that's going to be the case. I don't understand, Lord, but say it on your knees. Bring your doubts to God. God doesn't fear your doubts. He's the answer to all of them. But bring your doubts on your knees. Lord, why did you delay? I don't understand this. And Jesus was going to show them both. God never fears our questions. He's the answer to all of them. He answers Mary's and Martha's with the same thing. Martha's, he told, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Mary's, it's time to show. You got to act on your faith. You know, Jesus gets there before the door of the tomb and says, all right, guys, move the stone. Did I not tell you you'd see the glory of God? Move the stone. It's going to stink. Do you believe me? Move the stone. See, faith, we can say we believe something, but our actions are what really show we do or not. Yes, I believe you're going to raise that person. Move the stone. But it stinks. Move the stone. And then, of course, there's always the Pharisees. These guys, they're always trying to silence the miracles. I've had a couple of miracles happen in our life, and whenever I try and talk to one of these people, I say, no, you must have seen it wrong. Something's happened wrong. We got to quiet it down. We've got to stop this. I want to see verse 47 through 53 here. It said, then some of the chief priests and Pharisees gathered at the council and said, what should we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said, you know nothing at all. Do you not consider that it is expedient for us that one should die for the people and not the whole nation, and not that the whole nation should perish? Now he did this not of his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And then it goes on and says, they wanted to kill Lazarus again. And I've always thought that's the dumbest thing they could have wanted to do. Do they think Jesus only has one resurrection in his arsenal? I've always pictured the scene. It's like in a Far Side cartoon, you know? There's the Pharisees, and they shoot Lazarus, and there's Jesus going, zit! So Lazarus, bang, zit, bang, zit. How often do you want me to do this? And that's the futility of the world, trying to silence the miracles of Christ. See, this is why Jesus wins in the end. And, you know, we talked today about how the media and all these things are trying to silence the truth. They can try and silence the truth, but light still shines in darkness. And this is why in the end we win. Because you can't silence something that can keep talking. They wanted to kill Lazarus again. Jesus would have raised him again. They killed Jesus. Jesus came back. He is the resurrection. How do you kill the life? So don't fear. As you go in, the world is going to try and silence the gospel. The world is going to try and silence what Jesus did. But remember what Jesus is. It starts the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning. He'll be in the end. He's the first letter. He's the Alpha. He's the last letter. He's the Omega. And he always has been. He always will be. And you can try and silence him. But in the end, the silence will be yours. So don't silence the miracles. You go out and share them. You go out and share your testimony. You go out and share how Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, that you would have eternal life if you simply believe. You go out and do that, because the world may try and silence it, but the Word with a capital W is speaking through you. The resurrection is living through you. And you can't silence it forever. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection. And he raised Lazarus. Now, I feel sort of for poor Lazarus. I really do. And this is not in the story at all, but I always have felt a little for poor Lazarus, because he was in the bosom of Abraham for 4 days. He was in paradise for 4 days. He was over there, and he had to come back here. Can you imagine? You know, you've lived in the colonias all your life, and then you get this beautiful house and you say, you're going to live in this beautiful house out on the coast, and then 4 days later you say, well, now you got to go back to your old shack for a few more years. No! Leave me here! I wonder what Lazarus saw. I wonder what Lazarus spoke. I wonder how the rest of Lazarus's life was. We never told. He came back after being in the presence of God. But now he's with God again. So's Mary, so's Martha, so's Paul, so's John. All these people who were killed to silence the miracle, they're part of the miracle. And so are you. Live like part of the miracle. For me to live is Christ. And if you don't understand where I'm coming from, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never accepted Him as the payment for your sins, please do so today. Don't wait! Because only in that way will you experience what Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Jesus and all the others are talking about when they say, "He who believes in me shall never die." We heard today of the prayer sharing time of a young person who died. If you've put Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've trusted Him, life goes on forever. Now you have the power of the resurrection. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, for being the resurrection, for being the life, for being the one who makes sure that we never, ever perish, because you died and paid for our sins and then rose again. And we pray, Lord, that we would be able to share that with a world that is trying to silence it, knowing that the word will get through to those who your Spirit opens their ears to hear. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.